Hello and welcome to our broadcast. Today we are in Acts chapter 9, a major turning point in this book. Stay with us for our program. Acts chapter 9 brings us to a major turning point in the book of Acts. As we mentioned in our last broadcast, the focus to this point has been on Peter and his ministry concerning the nation of Israel and their kingdom. The place of worship has been the temple and in the synagogue, and the Holy Spirit inspired Luke to write about the assemblies that they were promoting the fact that Jesus was the Messiah, and those assemblies were very large and they were growing, and Saul of Tarsus had a goal to put a stop to these meetings. He was a part of Stephen being martyred in chapter 7, and now he goes into Damascus looking for more Jews that he might bring them back and even have them put to death. We read in Acts chapter 9 and verse number 3, "And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do." Well, God had a training program for Paul. And like Moses, Paul will spend some time in God's wilderness school. And like Moses, Paul will become an abomination in the eyes of those who refuse to follow God's plan of the ages. And like Moses, Paul will meet with God and get instructions as to how things are to be done. And like Moses, he will meet God on the same mountain that Moses met him on to get his instructions. Paul begins his training program with his face in the dirt on the road leading to Damascus. And in verse number 7 we read, "And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened he saw no man. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, neither did he eat nor drink." Saul, the big shot religious leader, is becoming a servant for the master. In Romans 1 and 1, Paul referred to himself as a servant of Jesus Christ. And the term servant there refers to a bond slave who has absolutely no rights whatsoever. Well, like Jonah, who spent 3 days in the whale's belly, Paul's about to spend 3 days focusing on the things of this world. Well, we read that he receives his sight in verse 18. "Immediately there fell from his eyes as had been scales, and he received sight forthwith, arose, and was baptized. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Paul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus, and straightway he preached Christ in the synagogue, that he is the Son of God." Preaching Christ, that he is the Son of God. Interesting. We read here that he preached Christ, that's the Messiah, in the synagogue, that he is the Son of God, the Savior. Paul begins immediately preaching Christ as the Savior to the world. John 20 and 31 says that ye might believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. Now, I'm going to give you a very, very important timeline that has to do with the timeline of Saul. Saul had hated those people who were following Christ. And in verse 1, we read he was breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord. Well, let's see how the timeline goes. Number 1, he went to Damascus looking for any of this way, whether they were men or women, that he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. He wanted them all. Number 2, he met Christ as he journeyed and came near to Damascus. 3, we see that after he met with Ananias and received his sight, he was filled with the Holy Ghost. Number 4, verse 17, we read, "Then was Saul certain days with his disciples, which were at Damascus." Then in verse 20, we read, "Straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God." And in verse 22, it says that Paul confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. And he continued preaching for many days, it says. Many days were fulfilled, and the Jews took counsel to kill him. Well, in verse 25, the next thing we read is, "Then the disciples took him by night and led him down by the wall in a basket." Next, he traveled about 100 miles to Arabia. He said in Galatians 1 and 17, "Neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went unto Arabia and returned again unto Damascus." Then in Galatians 1 and 18, we read that after 3 years, he said, "I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. You know, sometimes we think all these things happen on a weekend. "After 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. Now, you've seen in this part of the book of Acts that the two main players in this whole story are Peter and Paul. It's interesting. Nothing is told us of what they might have said during those 15 days or what they might have talked about. Well, then we read in Acts 9 and 27, it tells us that Saul came to Jerusalem. When he came, he swayed to join himself to the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. Well, in Acts 9 and verse 28 tells us he was with them coming in and going out in Jerusalem, and he spake boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus and disputed against the Grecians, but they went about to slay him. Now, once again, Paul's life was in danger, so the believers in Jerusalem brought him down to Caesarea and sent him forth to Tarsus, which, of course, is where he came from, and that's where he lived when he was a little boy. Well, we do not know how long he spent at Tarsus. The next we hear about him is in Acts chapter 11, verse 25, when we read, "Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul." Now, we have a new dispensation here, and we have a new set of instructions. When Paul left Damascus, he traveled over 100 miles to the same area where Moses had received instructions for the dispensation of the law. We read in Galatians 1, verse number 11, Paul said, "But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ." He said, "I didn't get this from any of the apostles. I got this from Christ on that same mountain where Christ had met with Moses when he wanted to give him the instructions of how things were going to be done under the law. Now we're under the local church age, and Paul has been brought to that same mountain and has been given instructions by Jesus Christ himself." How long he was alone with God in Arabia on that mountain is uncertain. Paul says in Galatians 1:17, "I went to Arabia and returned again unto Damascus." Perhaps like Moses, he was 40 days on the mountain receiving instructions. We do not know. Paul said, again, "For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ." And he continued in verse 17, saying, "Neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went unto Arabia and returned again unto Damascus." Now, the secret things concerning the local church had been hid since before the foundation of the world, and they were now revealed to the Apostle Paul. In Deuteronomy 29 and verse 29, it says, "The secret things belong unto the Lord our God." Well, when Paul met with God on that mountain, when he met with the Lord, actually, he is going to learn one of God's secrets. Well, in Galatians chapter 1, he said it was revealed to him by the revelation of Jesus Christ. In Colossians 1 and 25, Paul said, I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which was hid from ages and from generations. In Ephesians 3 and 9, Paul referred to what he had learned as the mystery which from the beginning of the world had been hid in God. In Romans 16 and 25, Paul referred to it as my gospel, which was kept secret since the world began. Well, back in Acts chapter 9, until now, the major focus of the book of Acts has not been on the local church. However, I want to emphatically state again and again and again, because people will misunderstand this, because the focus in the first 8 to 9 chapters in the book of Acts is not on the local church, it does not mean there was no local churches there at that time. In Acts chapter 9 and 31, it says, when Paul got saved, then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria. How in the world could these churches be having rest after Paul got saved if they weren't there before he got saved? They were there. It's just worth saying is that the first part of the book of Acts has been totally taken out of context, and we've been giving all of this stuff to the local church, which really had to do with Peter preaching a message about the Jews still being able to receive their kingdom up until Stephen was martyred, and that was the end of it. As we said before, John was sent by God. He gave them an opportunity for the kingdom, and they rejected God. Then Jesus, the Son of God, came, and they rejected him, and they killed him too. Finally, Peter, and then finally with Stephen, the Bible says he was filled with the Holy Spirit, and he preached, and they killed him too. All three of these preached about their kingdom. They rejected God the Father, they rejected God the Son, and they rejected God the Holy Spirit as he spoke through Stephen, and that was the end of it. There's no more chance for them to have their kingdom. It was over. Now we get Paul comes on the scene, and the Bible says that we have a whole new situation here as he begin to the local church begins to explode upon the pages of the book of Acts. But that does not mean to say they were not there. Read Acts 9 and 31 again. Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified, and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost, they were multiplied. They had been preaching eternal life to the Samaritans long before this. Jesus preached in John chapter 4, and the Bible tells us in verse 39, many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him. That was not the kingdom message. That was the salvation message. That was being preached. Churches were being started all of the time through the book of Acts. But those verses that we have been giving in the early part of the book of Acts, as we have seen in this series of broadcasts, we have taken them out of context. And as a result, we've got the charismatic movement, we've got Calvinism, we've got a whole other things that have been built on the faulty foundation of these verses being taken out of their context. Well, in verse 43, the focus is back on Peter, and it tells us that he tarried many days in Joppa with one Simon, a tanner. Nothing in the Bible is there by chance. Why did the Holy Spirit want us to know that Peter stayed in the home of Simon the tanner? Well, a tanner was a trade regarded by the Jews as unclean because of the contact with dead animals and blood, which was connected with it. Now, we need to understand that at this portion of Scripture, if you check the timeline carefully, we are at least 7 years after the day of Pentecost, and more likely closer to 12 years later. Well, here he is there, and the Bible says that he tarried many days with Simon, which shows he is now beginning to put the Jewish law aside quite a while after Pentecost. And in the next chapter, Cornelius was told to send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodges with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. And he will tell thee what thou ought to do, chapter 10, verse 6. Well, in our next broadcast, we'll see the significance of Peter being in the home of Cornelius. That's a very interesting thing. And keep in mind, once again, this was at least 7 years, and more likely 12 years, after the day of Pentecost. Tune in for our program tomorrow. We'll try to make it plain, and we will try to make it simple.